Sarah sat up when the policeman came into the room.
"I'm Trooper Ray Harmon, ma'am, and as of yet we don't have your name."
He paused with a pen over the paper notepad and waited for her to respond.
"My name is Sarah D. Jackson, and I'm from Standard. A few days ago, two men came to my house and rented rooms. Their names were Clarence Veneer and Emmett Stump. I don't believe those names are real. They paid me cash, and that was fine, but they showed signs of not being quite right."
"How so, Miss Jackson?" Ray asked.
"Well," Sarah sucked in some air and heaved out a long sigh.
"They smelled funny. They seemed to read my mind. I mean, I turned to ask Stump for the rent, and he had it in his hand and was smiling as he gave it to me. I raised my glass of wine to them inside my kitchen as a toast to both of them as they were coming back to the house. They were a long way back, too far to be able to hear me talk inside my kitchen. They were a football's distance in the backyard. But," Sarah looked distraught, "as soon as I raised my glass and said out loud, 'Here's to you guys,' both of them raised their heads up and smiled. They heard me, officer, and they heard me from a great distance and through a closed window."
Ray showed no sign of being judgmental, but he was definitely forming an opinion.
"So, long story short, I was freaking out and drove to the New Zion Church of Standard and talked to Pastor Bill Gorman about it. He slid me a note that said, 'They can hear us talk.' We got in his truck and drove to Dixon, where we were too far away for them to hear us. And that's when Bill, Pastor Gorman, told me children are missing in Standard and that their parents didn't seem concerned. It's like the whole town is slowly being drained of emotions."
She continued, "I know this all sounds like a science fiction book, but when you're in the middle of something like that, it's terrifying. My husband died a few months back, and no one could explain why. It's all related. My husband dying, the town, these men, all of it."
Sarah began to chew on a fingernail. "They tried to stop me from leaving my house, and I got away and eventually met up with Bill. He had a canoe, and these men, they communicate by clicking and clacking, this awful vibrating snapping noise that echoes. They chased us in the canoe, and we finally got to the road, Route 380, and flagged down a truck. But they caught Bill. They yanked him back and had him surrounded, and I made the trucker drive away. Then they were all over the trailer, which was loaded with pine trees, long strip pine trees. Anyway, I told the driver who they were, and he saw them climbing all over those trees in the back of his truck. Then he got this far-off look on his face, and he told me his name. And then he opened the door and tossed himself out. I think he was run over by the truck wheels."
"Where on Route 380 was this?"
"Not far from the Standard Bridge," Sarah said. "On this side of it, a few miles."
"What was the driver's name?"
"I can't remember." Sarah looked out the window. "He told me, but I forgot. Stump killed the deputy in Fairy Springs, and I don't know for sure, but I imagine he killed the driver that hit the trailer behind the truck I was driving."
"What makes you say that?"
"Well, that's what he does. That's what they all do, all of them. They take over people's lives and they kill anyone who knows they're here."